meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee will come to order. It is now 8:03 a.m. Tuesday, March 21st, in the State Capitol Room 106. Our members present currently are Co-Chair Representative Parrish, Representative Westlake, Representative Sadler, Representative Tallarico, Representative Rauscher, and myself, Representative Fansler. We have a quorum to conduct business. If you could please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Thank you very much. And before we begin, I would like to thank Lori Rowland, the House Community and Regional Affairs Secretary, and Alex Giudice from the Juno LIO, who make sure that we have sound and a transcript for our committee meetings. And my committee aide, Joe Yorty, is here to help with any member needs for this committee meeting. We have one order of business today, the first hearing of House Bill 166, the Museum Construction Grant Program. Since this is the first committee of referral for this bill, it's my intention to hold it for a second hearing at our Thursday meeting this week. We have before us the original version, which I believe is 30-LS0411-D, and we have the bill's sponsor, Co-Chair Representative Parrish and his staff, Ms. Lisa Worrell, here to present the bill. If you could come forward, put yourselves on the record, and begin your presentation, that would be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, staff. For the record, I am Justin Parrish, representative for House District 34, and I'm coming before you to present House Bill 166, which would establish a matching grant program in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for eligible museum construction, expansion, or major renovation projects. Museums would be eligible for the program if they're located in Alaska, are entitled to receive state grants, and are able to find matching funds from other sources to cover at least 50% of the project costs. Alaska has more than 60 museums throughout the state that provide cultural, tourism, and educational programs. Alaska museums receive almost 400,000 annual visitors, and they serve about 30,000 school children each year. Alaskan communities are enriched with the art, history, and cultural language and education provided at the museums. The approval of this bill will enable museums to access and leverage funding so that they may improve, expand, or upgrade as needed when funds are appropriated. Included in this bill, you'll find 23 letters of support from 9 different Alaskan museums, 4 regional or statewide museum organizations, and Senator Bishop. The award is subject to appropriation and cannot exceed 50% of the total proposed project costs. HB 166 is a companion bill for SB 7. Sponsors of that bill include Stevens, Bishop, Stedman, and Egan. I'll further note that this does not allocate money. It only creates a program to which, in happier days, we'll be able to put some money for museums which are able to find substantial alternate sources of funding. And with that, my aide Lisa Worrell and I are ready for questions.
Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Parrish, I see that you and Representative Keto from downtown Anchorage are co-sponsors, and I note in the sponsor statement that Senator Egan is a co-sponsor on the companion legislation, along with Senators Stevens, Bishop, and Stedman. Is there a particular project in Southeast Alaska that you envision funding with this this grant program, should it become law?
No, actually, but we do benefit here from some of the finest museums in the state, and I'm of the opinion that we ought to make sure that everyone in Alaska has similar opportunities. There may turn out to be museums here in Southeast which would benefit from it, as there are from all around the state. If you look through the packet, you'll see a great number of supporting letters, including one from Juneau. Well, two from Juneau, actually, I think. The City Museum of Juneau.
Follow up question?
Follow up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you. The State Library Museums and State Library Archive Museum, the SLAM, is potentially one of the museum facilities to which you make reference, Representative Fansler. How was that facility financed, its construction?
That was before my time, the SLAM.
Mm-hmm. Does your staff know, by chance, through the chair?
For the record, I'm Lisa Worrell, staff to Representative Parrish. I would like to confirm this, but I believe that was partially through an appropriation previously through the program, a similar program that was set up through the libraries program through DCCED. We also, just for the record, we also have Ms. Catherine Eldemar, the division director for CNRA online, if you'd like to.
Thank you.
Confirm that.
The chair.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
I'm afraid I don't know how the SLAM was funded or similar to other grant programs, so I'm trying to find some reliable information as to how that facility was constructed. So if you have somebody available, I'd appreciate getting that question to them.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. We can follow up with other invited testimony that is yet to come, and perhaps they will have the answer for you.
Perhaps.
Thank you. Representative Westlake, did you have a question?
None.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the committee for our presenters?
Yes, sir.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Parrish, what kinds of other funding mechanisms would you envision museums going to for the required 50% match?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, thank you for the question.
You're welcome.
I imagine what we'll see will be applications to large philanthropic organizations such as the Rasmussen Foundation. Will probably see concerned community groups raising funds by hook or by crook. We'll probably see a good number of corporate sponsors. There are no few individuals and organizations who recognize the value that museums can have to our communities and are willing to put their money where their mouth is.
Follow up,
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Parrish, would you envision that the matches, or they have to only be private, or could they be municipal government sources of funds?
I would imagine that the people attempting to build the museum would take money from whomever was willing to provide it.
So it could be public sources as well?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Any more questions for our presenters? Seeing none, we are going to move on to invited testimony. We have several invited testimony testifiers today. First, we are going to hear from Ms. Patricia Relay from the Valdez Museum and Historical Archive. Ms. Relay, please state your name and affiliation for the record, and then if you can go ahead with your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Patricia Relay. I'm the Executive Director of the Valdez Museum and Historical Archive, as well as the co-chair of the museum's Alaska Advocacy Committee. I'm speaking on behalf of the Valdez Museum today. And urge your support of HB 166, establishing a museum construction grant. Museums are facing critical infrastructure issues throughout the state. Research shows that almost half of all museums in the state are either currently involved in a construction project or will be in the next 5 years. That's pretty incredible. This bill provides the structure for establishing a systematic approach to prioritizing museum capital projects and funding requests at the state. Museum and cultural organizations in Alaska are a critical part of our educational and economic infrastructure. During tourism and partnering schools to teach local curriculum. They contribute to our economy and well-being by employing over 260 Alaskans statewide. We spend over $23.5 million annually in the state. We host over 650,000 visitors annually and serve over 36,000 school children annually. That was statewide. In Valdez, the museum employs 10 full-time equivalents. We spend over $1.3 million annually in our local community. We host over 20,000 visitors annually. And on a small community of less than 4,000, we serve over 3,000 school children annually. Despite this vital role of museums, our facilities and collections are at risk through decreasing federal, local, and charitable giving. As collections grow and visitation increases, the pressure of our aging infrastructure must be managed. The Valdez Museum is no stranger to this dilemma. We've accomplished a lot within the last few years, incorporating successful expanded range of public programming, major upgrades to several exhibits. We've increased visitation and raised our standards of collections management. Despite these achievements, our institution is now at a point in which its progress is being hampered by limitations of space. In order to maintain and improve our standards of professionalism and to preserve our vision for the future, our organization needs to move away from our current environment of a shared purpose space and move toward the facility dedicated space for single use functionality. At this point, we've got collections stored at baseball fields, we've got collections stored in tents, and this environment is not suitable for rare artifacts that tell the Alaska story. Now, at the core of our mission is education. Over the years, we've had numerous teachers share their gratitude for how the Valdez Museum supports their work. Recently, Sherry Beck, a fourth grade teacher with the Valdez City Schools, shared with our museum educator, quote, "I just returned from the National Social Studies Convention in New Orleans. I thought of you so many times and wish you could be brainstorming side by side. I was also reminded how fortunate we are in Valdez and in my partnership with you to have a local museum available for help and support. I thank you. Your recent lesson with my students using artifacts and primary sources was such a wonderful example of what we heard at the conference as stellar teaching," unquote. So without proper care and housing of our museum's collections and artifacts, we won't be able to continue our robust education program. I urge the committee to make this bill a reality and speak up for all Alaska museums. We're just one example. Thank you so much for your time, consideration, and service to Alaska. On behalf of the Valdez Museum, I urge the Community and Regional Affairs Committee to pass HB 166.
Thank you, Ms. Relay. And before we go on further, I would like to note that Representative Drummond joined us at approximately 8:05 a.m. Are there any questions from the committee from Ms. Relay? And it looks like Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Relay, can you tell me a little bit more about the Valdez Museum and how its construction and operation are funded?
Sure, I'd be delighted to. The Valdez Museum and Historical Archive is a 501c3. We're a nonprofit organization. Formerly, we were a department of the City of Valdez, but in 1997, we switched to a public-private partnership. At this time, the City of Valdez supports the Valdez Museum through a community service organization grant, which is approximately 60 to 65% of our annual operating budget. The onus on the nonprofit then is to generate the remaining 35-40% through fundraising efforts. It is the mission of the Valdez Museum to preserve, present, and interpret the heritage and culture of not only Valdez, but the Copper River Basin and Prince William Sound, Alaska. So we serve all of the Valdez Cordova census area and have outreach programs throughout the region. Pretty big scope. And we do this through collection preservation. We have over 75,000 objects, rare objects and artifacts, ranging from a 1907 Aaron Beamer to rare archival documents such as gold rush journals, Exxon Valdez oil spill papers. I mean, we have a collection ranging in far size and scope. We tell the story of our collections through exhibits and through education and public programs. We have approximately 11,000 square feet of permanent exhibit space, and we also have a changing temporary exhibit space that is funded primarily with generous support from the state of Alaska's Alaska State Council on the Arts. We also have our education department, which is quite robust. We have a museum educator that not only goes into the classroom and brings rare artifacts, but we also have school groups that come in to the museum on a regular basis. Homeschool children in our community consider the museum their live history classroom. And through public programs, what we do is multi-generational program that brings locals in year-round. So while they may have been in the museum when they were a kid, this is not another opportunity for the museum to bring new programs and new insights into our exhibits. Did that answer your question, sir?
It does. Thank you. I wonder if I could ask you a follow-up question.
Follow-up?
Sure.
Through the chair, Ms. Relay, does the Valdez Museum have any plans for capital projects, renovation, major construction? Should this bill pass and the state offer to pick up half the cost?
Well, yes, in a perfect world. yes, sir. We've been doing the work necessary and have been working with the city of Valdez and completed a master interpretive plan. This document is sort of a pre-planning document that assesses what our current situation is, looks at a variety of options to either expand, renovate, or build new. We currently have two facilities, one that was built in 1967. It's a centennial building like many communities throughout the state. But our most cherished exhibit, our Remembering Old Valdez exhibit, lives in an Army Corps of Engineers warehouse that was also built in 1967. It was one of the first warehouses built in Valdez after the earthquake, and it's a staging warehouse. So right now our collections are stored in this warehouse. Our Remembering Old Valdez scale model is stored there, as well as our fire engines and quite a few very treasured objects.
So,
as you probably are aware, Valdez now, after the earthquake, moved 4 miles down the road, and this scale model really is a place for old towners to convene, to bring family and friends, and to stand by their house where they lived when in Old Town. So it is a local treasure. And right now, this warehouse is destined to be raised. So the impetus is to find a solution to become more sustainable by merging the two locations into one facility. So at this point, we're in a pre-planning phase, and yes, hopefully in the next 5 to 10 years, we can resolve all of the logistics and hopefully renovate, or expand our current facilities.
And through the chair, follow up? Briefly, have you any estimation as to the cost that you think your plans would require?
Yes. We have rough ballpark estimates, somewhere between $28 and $35 million.
Okay.
And we've actually had a landowner offer us some land. While it's not exactly an appropriate location, we're also looking at, we're working with the City of Valdez and looking at various city-owned parcels of land as well.
Okay, and the last question, if I may.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Ma'am, could you give me some idea as to how the Valdez Museum's mission would be divided up, how much emphasis you place on visitors or tourism, how much on student education, and how much on historical preservation, or if there's another general mission category I'm missing? Just give me a rough estimate as to where the priorities are, how much time, effort, money is spent on each of those three.
Sure, exactly. I'll give you a little big picture. As I said, we serve over 20,000 visitors a year. The majority of our general admission comes between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and those folks come from all over the state, all over the country, all over the world. So I would say approximately 80% of our visitation comes from outside of Valdez. 20% is within the local community. Now, as to percentages, as to time and effort, it's a year-round effort. While we're not seeing a lot of outside visitors this time of the year, what we do is we focus on all of our local contacts and visitors. Right now, as a matter of fact, we're getting ready to open up an annual student art show. It's a well-loved community labor of love. Children from pre-K through college enter works of art. It is co-sponsored by Alyeska Pipeline, as well as the Alaska State Council on the Arts. And this project, just this little exhibit, takes, I'd say 6 months of planning. So I'm not sure if I can really completely answer. There is, it's a year-round effort. Exhibits take, I'd say, equal amount to preservation. My staff is broken up I have a full-time curator of collections and exhibits and a full-time curator of education and public programs. And I would say each of their positions are broken up about 50%, 50-50. As to historic preservation, as funds are made available through grants, then we take on big projects like salvaging the MV Perry or something like that, or restoring the 1907 Aarons. I'm not sure I'm answering your question.
Well, that's a lot of good elucidative detail, but I'm just trying to get a vague idea. So primarily it's tourism and a little bit of education, about one-fifth education. How much of your mission is historical preservation? That's kind of intrinsic, I suspect. Where is most of your capital? I'm trying to get to what's most of your capital expense focused. Where is most of your capital
expense? Our capital expenses, facilities for housing the collections.
Is the primary expense.
The majority is historic preservation, I guess, if you're going to get down to the nuts and bolts,
the
heating is the electricity, is the stop time, is the security, you know. So there's a lot of overhead costs in that as well, and having proper facilities to care for these collections.
Thank you, ma'am.
And so I would say right now, we pay about $90,000 in utilities annually, and that's broken up between $150,000. I have an operating budget of about $650,000, so $90,000 of that comes into utilities.
Thank you, Ms. Wheeler.
So
that's
a
good
chunk of cash taken away from mission-driven programs.
And Representative Drummond with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Relay, for testifying and being available to answer questions. I know this bill is about capital projects, but I'm just curious, does the Valdez Museum charge admission?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that is, I'm not sure you were in the room. Right now, our budget breaks down to about 60-65% of city support from the city through a community service organization grant. And what that supports is payroll, staff, and a very minor part of utilities. Without the admissions, we wouldn't be able to continue our mission-driven program. Yes, we do charge admission. It's free for members, $8 general admission, $6 for seniors, and military, free to children.
Thank you. But the admission does constitute a major percentage of your support. And without it, you couldn't function.
Generally, our admissions is about, let me see, I just finished an audit. general admissions, museum services fees, and public programming fees, I would say that's around $60,000 annual income.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Relay. I may have more questions, but for now, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Any further questions for Ms. Relay? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to thank you for your testimony, Ms. Relay, and if you do remain on the line and more questions come up, we can always come back to you. I'm now actually
thank
going
you.
To, you're welcome, take us slightly out of order. We have Ms. Catherine Eldemar. She's the director of the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. She's available online to answer any committee questions, and also would you like to put any testimony forth today, Ms. Eldemar?
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm here really for any questions that you might want to have answered. I'm struggling with a little bit of a cold, so I apologize for my voice being a little bit off. But if there are any questions, be glad to respond.
Okay. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Omar. Just curious, what has the state's role been in capital funding of museums, archives, libraries, preservation societies in the past been?
Well, that's a good question. This is modeled after, if I can back up, this is modeled after the library grant statute. Of course, there's a different category of grants altogether, and all of you in the legislature are aware of the designated legislative grants. So whatever the legislature decides to fund, you do so through the grant. This is just a little bit of a different system. Under this statute, it would be much, much like the library where we would receive applications and we would score them and we would go ahead and give them a score, allocate the resources that the legislature would appropriate. Like I said, this is modeled after the library program, but it still remains unfunded, so we don't have anything to report as far as how that actual program has or will in fact work. Is that helpful?
Yes, but I'm going to have to scope it with a couple of follow-up questions, if I may. So, through the chair, you're saying that the library grant program is currently unfunded, is that correct?
That's correct. So we went through the process of receiving a lot of applications. We went ahead and reviewed those applications, we scored them, and then the letter is, here is your score. And typically when the legislature funds a grantee, we would say, and here's the grant amount. But it did not have any funding, so we are still holding on to the applications. So in this bill, if you look at House Bill 166, lines 10 and 11, the department, in this instance, may not accept the application for a grant under this section unless the legislature makes an appropriation for the grant program. So that will keep us from the grantees, it will keep them from doing a lot of work until the legislature makes the appropriation.
Okay, so the library grant program is not funded, so people have made application, you've scored them, and there's currently a stack of applications that are ready to be funded should the legislature appropriate money. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I had a little bit of a cough.
Oh, sure.
We have the applications in-house. They're ready to go. It's just a matter of receiving funding from the legislature. That's correct.
Has there ever been grant funding through the library grant program?
No, it has not.
Okay, and this program for museums is modeled after the library grant program?
That is correct.
Okay. And back up again, so my original question through the chair was, what has the state's role been in capital construction funding for museums in the past?
We could look through our archives if you would like. I don't have any numbers specifically. Absent a specific statute on point, like House Bill 166, we would look through our designated legislative grants, and we'd have to actually look and see if funding was forwarded from the legislature directly to a grantee.
So just roughly speaking,
we can look, and we can review and get back to you if you'd like.
That'd be helpful. I'm just trying to find, this is establishing a new program of public support for museums at 50% of the cost. I'm just curious to find out what the precedent's been, what the historical record has been. And I think I hear you saying it's primarily, if not exclusively, through legislative grants.
That is my understanding.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Elmer. And thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Ms. Eldemar? Okay, thank you very much for answering those questions, Ms. Eldemar, and we will now move back up our script for some more invited testimony. We have Ms. Jane Lindsay from the Juno Douglas City Museum. Ms. Lindsay, if you could come forward, state your name and affiliation for the record, and then go ahead with your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Jane Lindsay. I'm here today as a member of Museums Alaska, a nonprofit association of statewide museum professionals. I'm also the director of the Juno Douglas City Museum. I'd like to thank Representative Parrish for sponsoring House Bill 166, companion bill to SB 7, sponsored by Senator Stevens. The need for this bill is demonstrated in a 2014 McDowell survey for the 4-Acre Group that studied the needs of Alaskan museums and capital planning. This information underscores that most of our Alaskan collections are in buildings never meant to be museums. 3/4 of the respondents of the survey identified significant capital improvement needs within the next 5 years. Exhibition space expansion or improvement, increase in facility size, collection storage expansion, and security improvements are the top priorities listed. Building expansions and new construction are complicated projects that take years of planning and fundraising. Outlined in the museum profiles in the McDowell survey, museum staff and personnel are tasked with raising funds at least 10 times larger than a museum's annual budget. These same folks are working on collections care, exhibits, programs, education, and the regular business of caring for a facility and generating revenue to operate. The core mission of what we do is our collections. Our work entails preserving objects, photos, documents of the history of Alaska. and we care for these in perpetuity, and we find meaningful ways to give them back to the public through exhibits, education, and research opportunities. HB 166 is a zero fiscal note bill for capital improvement projects if and when funding becomes available. Modeled after the successful library construction grant program, 50% of proposed costs to build, expand, or renovate existing facilities will encourage museums to assess needs within their buildings, such as sustainable energy initiatives for specialized environments which museums need, and develop achievable goals. It can help them create financial partnerships with local, nonprofit, state, and federal granting agencies, which is what we regularly work with. And I'd just like to close by saying that Governor Walker's proclamation that 2017 is a year of history and heritage recognizes the 150th anniversary of Russia ceding its Alaskan interests to the United States. This proclamation encourages us to study, teach, reflect upon our past, and apply its lessons to a brighter, more inclusive future. HB 166 helps us preserve Alaskan heritage so that we may continue to study, teach, and reflect. Thank you for your time and the work you do on behalf of the state of Alaska and our fellow Alaskans.
Thank you, Ms. Lindsay. Are there any questions? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Lindsay, thank you for your presentation. You mentioned that the HB 166 is based, is modeled on a successful library grant program. We heard Ms. Rita just say a few minutes ago that there have not been legislative grants through that program, so maybe you can give me a better perspective. Can you describe for me the operation of the library grant program and why you call it a success?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I don't know the details of the program, but what I do understand is that it's successfully built almost 20 or maybe 13 to 20 libraries in the state of Alaska, and these are all libraries that have come up with 50% matching grant program. And my understanding is they worked as a consortium. It takes many years to be shovel ready, to be at a place where you can even apply for the grant. And this is my understanding from talking to the Department of EED and other librarians who've actually received the funding. And they've gone through the process of making sure there's community consensus, making sure they have the money, making sure they can operate, and then building these community resources that my understanding is they're very widely used, and they are also energy efficient, which is something that we deal with here in Alaska. And if I just might add what you heard from Patty Relay, she's paying $90,000 a year in utilities. She's got antiquated building that she's living in. So she's trying to keep up with preserving collections, lighting the building, heating the buildings, and they're antiquated. Okay. So certainly it takes more money to preserve our environment or preserve our collections, but she will be able to realize, let's say, when she does an expansion or an improvement, energy efficiency.
Okay, thank you. If I may follow up?
Follow up, Representative.
I will probably come back and ask the sponsors more questions about the library grant program. That's not your job, Ms. Lindsay. But if I could ask you, do you have any information you can share with us how the, what's colloquially known as the SLAM building, how is the construction of that facility funded?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, my understanding is because the SLAM is a museum funded by the Alaska State, you guys, that it goes through the all funding goes through the operating, not the capital. And my understanding is this funds come through the capital budget, mm-hmm. So they would not be eligible. And again, that is just my understanding. They would not be eligible for this grant program, is my understanding.
For the SLAM, okay. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Lindsay from the committee? Follow-up, Representative?
I will ask a question. With all due respect, I want to ask the question. The state of Alaska has a constitutional obligation to provide for public education, and as a result pays in some cases 100% of the capital costs for building schools and possibly associated libraries, and in some communities pays for up to 70% of that cost for schools and libraries. So respectfully, why should the state pay half the cost to build museums around Alaska?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, respectfully, we are taking care of your public trust heritage collections. These are open to the public, they're owned by everyone, and they're accessible to everyone. And as my colleague Patty Relay stated, some money does come in through admissions, but I would like to add that much of what museums do and are charged to do is care for public trust collections. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that that's an honorable and worthy goal and very important for the state of Alaska and every human being.
I absolutely do not disagree at all.
Yeah.
Thank you. This question.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Ms. Lindsay. Thank you very much for being here. I have, as a legislator, my first contact was with your museum, and I have enjoyed it very much in my 5 years here. I will ask you, does the Juno Douglas Museum charge admission?
It does. I'm sorry, through the chair, Representative Drummond. We do charge admission. We do not charge to children. Mm-hmm. Because our mission is education. Mm-hmm. So 13 and under are always free of charge. Mm-hmm. And we also, but we do charge $6 for adults, $5 for seniors during the summer, and then that goes down $1 in the winter. And I just might note that we also get community sponsors to pay admissions during the winter. But I'd also like to note that much of our programs are what we call free public programs because we encourage everyone to use our facility, and our education programs are free. So if you look at the dollars in revenues, that's not necessarily matching the services we do. And we bring in about $75,000 a year in admissions and public programs where we're generating revenue. Mm-hmm. And we have about a $425,000 budget. Okay. But many of our programs are free public programs. I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? All right. Seeing none, I will thank you very much for your testimony, Ms. Lindsay, and we will now move on, and we are going to open public testimony. Public testimony is open. Looks like we have multiple people that are online looking to testify. So I will, let's see who's been on the longest. Looks like, I will have the pleasure of going to Bethel. To speak with Ms. Eva Malvich from the YK Museum. Ms. Malvich, are you with us?
Yes. Hello. Hi, my name is Eva Malvich. I'm representing the UP Digital Right Museum here in Bethel, Alaska.
Hi. And can you, would you like to put your testimony on the record?
Yes, I would thank Dr. Uyana for allowing me to speak to you today. My name is Eva Malvich. I am a resident of Bethel, Alaska, representative of San Luis District. I am also the director curator for the UP Digital Right Museum, a tribally owned and operated museum run by the Association of Village Council Presidents. And we're located inside the UP Digital Right Cultural Center, which is owned and operated by UAF Kuskokwim Campus. The UP Digital Right Museum is based in the hub community of Bethel. It is the only museum in the region. We own over 8,000 objects relating to the Yupik people. Books, audio recordings, paper archives, photos, videos, as well as fine arts objects and objects relating to natural history. They are invaluable. We have tools that our forefathers used to live off the land and water. They are still vital to us today. We teach our own children about how we lived to give the children a strong sense of their own identity. We have to tell our own story according to our own worldview, and that is something that cannot be underestimated. House Bill 166 is enabling legislation, which would give our museum a chance for needed renovation. We need a working HVAC system to maintain our humidity levels consistently for a collection of animal hides, fed skins, wood and ivory, objects that are in danger of permanent damage. This lack of humidity control is hurting our collection. We have been told to purchase our own system at $125,000 plus $80,000 per year to maintain it. This is according to our own UAS, the maintenance superintendent, Bill Cox, back in 2015. Both the landlords, Kuskokwim Campus and the museum, the lease needs a means to fix this problem because the lack of humidity control is damaging. This bill would fix this problem. The museum is vital to educating our own people about making clothing, tools, and art. We do not need an outside expert to tell us who we are. We do not need to travel to the Smithsonian downstate to study our own objects. By running a museum and providing educational opportunities in our region, by our own people, we have the knowledge and means to sustain our own Yupik culture. We honor for your time. It is important to keep our Yupik and Chipik artifacts in our region, not in Fairbanks or Juneau. They are too far away. We need them closer to home so that we can continue to teach and learn about our rich Yupik and Chipik culture through studying our collection. House Bill 166 would help us immensely by giving our organization a means, or our rent, or our landlord, for securing funds for construction and renovation of museums and cultural centers. Guyana.
Thank you, Ms. Malvich. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Gorman.
Hello, Ms. Malvich.
Yes.
Yes, hi. Representative Harriet Drummond. You may not be able to answer this question, but you did mention not needing to leave Bethel to share the artifacts with your people. I know the Smithsonian has provided lots of traveling exhibits over the decades. I know Anchorage has hosted them many times. I know I hear about collections being returned to museums after being borrowed by other countries, other organizations, other states, after decades of being missing from the state. Is there, if your museum was the subject of such a collection, are there requirements made by the returning organization as to the condition of the facility before they will return artifacts to a particular museum?
In fact, you know, the Rasmussen had set up a traveling exhibit of objects that were purchased through their foundation, and they were being offered to the museums around the state. And because I don't have a working HVAC, these institutions are less likely to send their objects to me because I can't maintain a humidity level of 30 to 50%, which is it's a requirement. It's a standard all over the nation, and so I don't bother to apply because of that one condition. Why would an institution with something invaluable want to send a collection to me and have it damaged from our environment that we can't control?
Absolutely. I totally understand. If you would name that, was that a temperature range or a humidity range or both that you just mentioned?
It's humidity control, which an HVAC would be able to help us maintain at between 30 and 50%. That's the standard. I have a measurement tool in our collections room here in Bethel that the state and Juneau monitors, and they've told me that it's humidity control in the middle of winter here in Bethel will go down to 1%. And up to 40 to 50% in the summer. That fluctuation is what hurts the collection. It needs to be consistently maintained at 30 to 50% year round. That's the challenge.
Understood. Is your collection then in danger of damage, or is it already being damaged because of this fluctuation?
We already have damaged the most valuable piece, which we don't show to people, is a shaman's doll that was found in Creswick in 1971. It was unearthed accidentally when somebody was putting up a post for a house, and it's inside a coffin, and it has that shaman's labret. We should never have seen it, but in the course of keeping it in the back, that shaman's doll split in half, and if we did send it out to have it repaired, why wouldn't we want to bring it back to the same place where it's going to be damaged again? So we've been holding on to it, waiting for the time when we can get it repaired, because it's the only one of its kind in the world.
Understood. Thank you, Ms. Malvich.
Any other questions from the committee? All right. Seeing none, I will thank Ms. Malvich for her testimony, and it looks like next we're going to go to Eagle River. Ms. Catherine Ringsmith, hopefully I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Ms. Ringsmith, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. My name is Catherine Ringsmith, and I am testifying today in voice of support of HB 166, which provides framework for establishing a rational, systematic approach to prioritizing capital requests for funding for museum projects statewide. Alaska history is extremely important to me. I teach Alaska history at UAA Eagle River. I've served as president of the Alaska Historical Society. I've curated history exhibits for our museums, and I currently organize two lecture series in Mountain View at the library and at Eagle River at the Chigiak High School that strives to bring communities together through history. And I know firsthand the power of historical wisdom and how a society can erode if history is not shared, understood, and valued by everyone. And as you know, Alaska, as the testimony today has underscored, we have more than 60 museums that provide cultural tourism and educational programs to visitors every day. And these museums are caretakers of our culture and are major contributors to our state's economy. Now, as a professor of Alaska history, I assign my students a museum assignment in both my U.S. and Alaska history courses. And this gives students, my students, the opportunity to conduct original research at the undergraduate level. And I think that's a pretty special thing. But in actuality, only a handful of people have the opportunity to take Alaska history in schools. And our museums serve as one of the few places where residents, as well as our over 600,000 visitors, can learn about Alaska, listen to the voice of the people, and really hear what our diverse history has to say. So today, far too many of our museums and cultural facilities face structural deterioration and are in need of critical renovation. And this absolutely is a threat to our history as well as our future. And I really believe that museums help to cultivate Alaska's next generation. They inspire us to carry on in Alaskans' tradition of big ideas. Even more than an informed constituency, we need visionaries. It was Wally Hickel who said, "There is no vision, no hope, no future, no agenda for Alaska if your only ideology, if your only philosophy, if your only cause is to cut the budget." As we face unprecedented financial challenges, we cannot forget from where we came. We must remember the voice of the people and foster our newest, youngest visionaries. So please support this bill. And thank you for investing in our future.
Thank you, Ms. Ringsmith. We have a question from Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Ringsmith, it's a pleasure to hear from the home district of Eagle River. I've got a question for you. As a liberal arts graduate, I've been an old museum hound for a long time. My feet still hurt from the Louvre. So my question would be, I hear frequently that the museums are an important cultural repository and an educational tool. Would it be appropriate in your mind that museums be funded as part of Alaska's educational mission?
Absolutely.
Well, and the point I'm getting to, do you think that should share the funding stream that the public school system receives from the state of Alaska?
You know, that's difficult for me to say. I mean, in terms of someone who recognizes the value and the reciprocal nature of both the education and the museums, I mean, I can't really speak to the financial and the funding side, but I absolutely see them working together to strengthen our residents and their knowledge of the past, and especially as Alaska has so many new residents continually coming in to the state, and they really, you know, don't have an opportunity to learn about the history, and so we're kind of dependent on kind of these popular narratives that may not even have much reality in the past, and that's dangerous, I think. And so I think it's very important, you know, if you're not going to get that information, you know, as a child in the school district, and you come to Alaska, you have no other way to get that information, and museums help to serve that purpose. And I think that, if anything, they should be working in more, you know, aligned partnerships where, you know, you see historical societies, you see museums, and you see both the K through 12 and the university systems all working together for that common purpose. And unfortunately, I don't see a lot of that happening right now. I see a lot of it as, you know, we're all kind of fighting over the small pot of money that does exist.
Thank you.
Then I don't know if that answered your question, but I think it would, you know, it would be extraordinarily important for, you know, for us to all work together. And other states have certainly kind of developed that model. Like, you know, Minnesota comes to mind, for example. Their History Center helps write curriculum for the Minnesota State History that's taught in their school districts. And then the museums provide that material, you know, experience for the students to come in. And also the Historical Society helps to support funding for public history professors at, you know, at certain colleges, state colleges. So they all kind of work together for that common outcome.
Thank you. I mean, Mr. Chairman, I do know that UGIAC has a grand history, a strong historical society. It's the birth grounds of the Veterans Museum and the Natural History Museum, so I do know that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've been trying, I've been working with them. We started the lecture series at Chugiak High School just a little while ago, so we're working on bringing and sharing the history of Chugiak and Kinnick so that people don't just drive on by as on their way out of town.
It's a grand story.
This area has a phenomenal history as well.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ringsmith.
Thank you, Ms. Ringsmith. Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, I'll thank you for your testimony, and we will now move on to Anchorage. It looks like we have Ms. Linda Lucky with the Anchorage Museum. Ms. Lucky, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good morning. My name is Linda Lucky. I'm a volunteer docent at the Anchorage Museum of Art, History, and the Science. I call the museum the jewel and the crown of Anchorage. I'm here today in support of House Bill 166. The matching grant program builds, renovates, and expands facilities that exhibit and preserve Alaska collections that are held in the public trust. It supports creative vision of the institution, exhibition space, increase in facility size, collection storage expansion, and security improvements are listed among its top priorities. I like that the program takes the politics out of applying for a grant. Support of this bill is an investment in a community's well-being. The Anchorage Museum connects people through its programs, through workshops, new experiences, exhibitions, and series of events. The museum expands our view of the world. One of our greatest shows was the one just after our first expansion was completed, Star Wars. It was a perfect segue between the old and the new. It was fabulous because one is celebrating imagination, which is at the core and heart of all our disciplines. It brought in people who had never been to the museum before. It brought in families, parents and children, second generation of Star Wars fans. And there were lots of hands-on activities to challenge the visitor's imagination. The biggest thrill was going into outer space via a film aboard the replica of the Millennium Falcon cockpit. I'd like to share these words from the director and CEO of the Anchorage Museum, Julie Decker. We think museums matter more now than ever before. In an age where everything is online, visitation rates to museums around the world are rising. Museums are not storehouses of the past. They are an active record of where we come from, who we are, and where we are going. Museums activate curiosity about the world in which we see and come to know ourselves as part of a continuum of shared human identity. I urge you today to support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lucky. We have a question from Representative Sadler.
Ms. Lucky, through the chair, I've got a question. What is the funding source for the original construction and expansion of the Anchorage Museum of History, Art, and Science? How was it originally built in the recent expansions?
I'm not sure. I would say Rasmussen.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Lucky? All right. Seeing none, then I'm going to thank you very much for your testimony, Ms. Lucky. And we will move now to the Fairbanks LIO. We'll start off here with Mr. Stephen Lundeen from the Pioneer Air Museum. Mr. Lundeen?
Good morning, yes. I've been volunteering for the Air Museum here and currently serving on the board
Mr.
of
Lundeen
directors.
Mr. Lundeen?
We've identified some critical infrastructure needs at this
Mr. Lundeen?
The most dire one.
Mr. Lundeen, can I have you state your name and your affiliation for the record first? Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Stephen Lundeen, and I'm serving on the board of directors for the Pioneer Air Museum in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Thank you.
Okay. And as I said, I'm on the board, and we've identified some critical infrastructure needs at this facility, and one of them is just a lack of bathroom facilities that really limits our use throughout the year. We're relying on the Pioneer Park area to be open in the summertime, but with winter tourism and everything, this is a critical need that we have for expansions. We feel that, for one thing, this bill we have in front of us that is under consideration at this time provides funding avenues or broadens potential funding avenues to pursue funding to get some of these needs taken care of. I would also like to go on and talk about the need for a restoration facility for the aircraft that we currently have in the museum and have recently acquired. They all represent significant segments of the history of aviation in Alaska, and they need proper preservation, restoration, and actually, in some cases, assembly. As an example, we've recently acquired a 1929 Swallow it's one of 200 aircraft built, and it has a significant Alaskan history that we need to assemble, and a restoration facility would go far in helping us obtain that. Fine Air Museum in Fairbanks has been operating on a self-sustaining basis over the years, and investments the state is able to make acquiring funding. That would be it. You know, typically we can carry on our own after that. It doesn't have costs that run down through the years. And at this point, I think I'd just like to draw your attention to those needs, and I'd like to thank you for your support for this legislation, and that is most appreciated. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the committee for Mr. Lundeen? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Indulge me a strange personal question. Mr. Lundeen, did you ever work in Southeast Alaska?
Yes, I did.
I think I worked with you with the U.S. Geological Survey about 40 years ago.
That's very possible, yeah.
With Donnie, yeah.
I was working with him. I was with the Forest Service at that time.
That's, yep. We're going to talk. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Any further questions from the committee? Okay. Well, thank you very much for your testimony there, Mr. Lundeen. We will move on now to Mr. Pete Hagland. Mr. Hagland, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record.
Yes, this is Pete Hagland. I'm the curator at the Pioneer Air Museum here in Fairbanks. We're housed in a building that was never designed for a museum. We're lacking a lot of space for displays and also restoration. We have no place to archive any of our materials that we have. We have probably 8 or 10 boxes, the big plastic storage boxes that are sitting, haven't been able to get into to do anything with. We've been archiving stuff and cataloging stuff for the last 5 years since I first went in there, and that all takes place with state grants. But we're in the process of trying to improve our facility. We're only open basically the same as the park is for one-fourth of the year, basically from the end of May to the for Labor Day in September, and we need to improve that. Restrooms is one of the big things we have. We don't even have restroom facilities for the hired help, and we have been increasing our help for the school kids. Every year we have, we don't charge for any of the school kids that come in or anything else. We do have a entrance fee for the normal people and that come in. The disadvantaged come in all the time. We don't charge them for entering into the museum either. And always happy to see them and do things. We have about 9,000 paid visitors per year, and that doesn't include any of the, of course, the school kids or anything else. And we run classes through there for the school district here from the various schools. So we're in dire need, and this legislation tends to have potential to help us take care of some of those dire needs. So only say that we support it. The history around all parts of the state needs to be preserved and protected and properly so that there's some ongoing history for people to see and take part in. So thank you for your opportunity to move ahead on this legislation and look forward to it. Thank you.
Any questions from the committee for Mr. Hagland? Seeing none, I will thank you for your testimony, Mr. Hagland, and we will move next to Mr. James Lounsburn. Mr. Lounsburn, if you can state your name and affiliation for the record, that would be great.
Yes, my name is James Lounsbury.
I reside in the summertime in Wythe, Alaska, and I put together a what I call the Koyukuk Miners Museum. It's a cookhouse, actually. I drove off an old one in the dead of winter. I bought it from Silverado, and my family and I got together and we rebuilt it, and Harry Leonard had left me some mining property there and some land, and so I figured I should put, do something for Harry, so I put this museum together for him, and it turns out it's pretty nice. It's, I don't charge anything for it. Matter of fact, Pioneers of Alaska, Igloo Number 8, started in Wiseman in 1914, and this year will be the second year I host them up there. They come up out of Fairbanks here. They got Igloo Number 8 here in Fairbanks, and the lodge is in mint condition. It's in the middle of a place known as called Arctic Getaway Lodge, and there's a cemetery up there. There's 17 burials of pioneers, and so they'll be coming up on the longest day of the year this year again, and we'll go up and do a memorial for the pioneers that were buried there. And anyhow, I support this aviation museum here in Fairbanks, the Interior Arctic Aviation Museum. My dad, mom both flew. My mother was the first female to solo in Fairbanks in the interior. Well, my whole family is in aviation, and I've been to Anchorage and saw their museum there last year and all the storage places they have. It's a wonderful facility, and it'd be great if Fairbanks could get a little bit of that stuff where they can store their planes they're restoring and stuff. And right now it's jam-packed. And I volunteer as a pioneer picker museum, or a musician. We played at the Air Museum last year in their opening, and it's a great facility. So that's about all I have here. I want to use up all your time. Fourth generation Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lounsbury. Are there any questions from the committee?
No.
Seeing none, we will then move on to the Homer LIO. We've got Laurie Stewart Morrow from the Pratt Museum. Ms. Morrow, if you would like to state your name and affiliation for the record.
Absolutely. Good morning. My name is Laurie Stewart Morrow. I am currently the executive director of the Pratt Museum in Homer, and I have been a member of the Alaskan community since 1972. This morning, I would like to add my testimony in support of House Bill 166, the Museum Construction Grant Program. Museums in our community serve many roles. In the summer, they draw in tourists and bolster support for small businesses in our towns. In the winter, especially, they transform into a winter hub where locals gather to discuss topics important to our communities and to become inspired by the human and natural world around us. Museums provide ready venues for artists and scientists alike to share their discoveries and epiphanies for the benefit of the community. Yet museums such as the Pratt are structured as nonprofit organizations that seek to make their mission accessible to all members of the community. Our focus on access and outreach means that we don't easily accumulate the monetary reserves necessary to renovate or engage in new construction. At least 36 museums in Alaska, including the Pratt, have identified significant capital improvement needs at this time. That means that cultural centers in over 30 communities in Alaska are concerned about continuing to provide adequate services to the collections entrusted to them by the public. As a centennial building, our current building is 50 years old, and despite two add-on renovations over those 50 years, we lack the space necessary to adequately care for cultural, historical, and natural history collections from one generation to the next. We have been working on a capital campaign for over 10 years with a continuing hope of creating a building that will both protect the community's heritage and provide adequate space for the growing community to gather, learn, share, and co-create more resilient community relationships. The Museum Construction Grant Program will provide a mechanism for museums in Alaska who often lack the critical mass of local tax dollars or a for-profit structure to request support for continuing the critical work of serving as caretakers for our community's valued history, culture, and ongoing dialogue. For this reason, we request passage of HB 166. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Ms. Morrow. Are there any questions from the committee for Ms. Morrow? Seeing none, I will thank you for your testimony. And it looks like we've gotten through all the online testimony. Is there anyone in the room that's wishing to testify on House Bill 166? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to now close public testimony. Public testimony is closed. At this time, is there any additional discussion from the committee members? Representative Westlake.
Yes, through the chair. I've had the pleasure of going to the Pratt Museum. I've had the pleasure of going to the Valdez one. Whenever I go out there, these repositories are wonderfully provincial. It doesn't matter where you're at in Alaska. It really brings what's important to that area. And I'm really glad to see the sponsoring bill coming forward. I think it's an extremely worthy cause. And as Representative Sadler had stated, I mean, it is part of education. There are some of us where it's even more important. As you get older, you start to realize that just how important this is. And I'm just delighted to see this in front of us. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Westlake. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to say, I think this is great. Very well, I'm sure everyone's aware. Could be a while before we, if this moves forward, if we had the opportunity to actually make an investment and provide money for an appropriation. But one of the I had an email contact that had a question, and they had a major concern about siphoning money outside of the public arena. But I think it's important for us to state on record that. In Title 14, which has been identified in the bill, museums are defined as organized and permanent public institutions. So I think it's just so that everyone can be very clear that this is about public institutions and isn't to provide funding for private collections or anything like that, but definitely our public institutions, which are open to the public. And I just want to make sure that we have that on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we can tell from some of the testimony, there are collections that are in danger. I don't know how this gets prioritized, but I think it's really important that it get prioritized, that it get studied, and at some point we'll have to figure out how to fund it. But in the meantime, I think we need to allow the museums around the state to get this structure in place and begin to move forward so that when funding does become available, they can begin to do the work. I'm supportive.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Co-Chair Parrish.
Mm-hmm. So, in as much as we're going to be holding this over for another day, I do recommend that we adjourn now so that everyone here has a chance to go over to the City Museum just across the way, where right now the Alaska Association of Student Governments are gathered. Any chance that we have to let our student government officials know that the work they're doing is important, I think is a chance we should take. Well, I think it'd be worthwhile to make ourselves available. They're only going to be going for another 8 minutes.
I think this is the part where you say hearing no objection.
is that a motion, Representative?
Yes, I move to adjourn.
Feels like perhaps this could have been part of your presentation.
So, it sings nicely.
I don't want to cut off any discussion, but are there any other discussion points? We will be planning on holding this over and hearing this again on Thursday. Representative Rauscher or anyone else that would like to speak on this? Okay, well, if not, then I will intend to hold this bill. We'll have a second hearing in this committee this Thursday, March 23rd, and we will therefore adjourn this meeting of House Community and Regional Affairs Committee at 9:23 a.m.